The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care, not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false?
They preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent
from heaven. I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew and muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Welcome to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. It's Thursday, and Dr. White is so glad you've joined us in this broadcast. Dr. White is walking through the New Testament book of James in a series he is calling Shoe Leather Theology. James wrote a letter that is practical to the core, dealing with the rough and tumble reality of the Christian life. Before Dr. White begins, let me remind you that if you miss any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it and all of our archives at randywhiteministries.org. But now, here's Dr. White to introduce today's teaching.
Living a healthy life is something that is such an important matter for you and for me, for everyone we know. We all want to be healthy, don't we? You know, when we come to the very end of this epistle of James, he gives us an instruction when he says, therefore, and the therefore, anytime you say that word, you need to stop and see what it's there for. And that word connects what he's about to say with what he has just said. And he has been speaking about the Lord will raise up the sick one, that is, will raise him from the dead in the day of the resurrection. If he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. One may die, but he'll be raised again. Therefore, he says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. See, what James is saying is there is something that we can do that will keep us from death. That is, it'll give us a healthy life. So today, as we come into our scripture, I want us to look at the instruction that James gives when he says, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Let's see what it means to confess our sins to one another, what it means to pray for one another, and how we rescue one another from errors of creed and errors of conduct. Now, we're going to take today and tomorrow to look at this very important subject, and I'm calling this sermon The Secret to Healthy Living. And I don't mean spiritual health, I mean physical health. But many of your spiritual activities lead to your physical well-being, or lack thereof. And so let's come into this very important sermon from the very end of the Epistle of James as he gives this very practical sermon to us. And he says, confess your sins, pray for one another. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Now, James chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. We close out the book of James that we've been journeying through, and we come to this section of scripture in which I'm going to entitle the sermon, The Secret to Healthy Living. Secret to Healthy Living. Now, it's the secret to a healthy church, no doubt about it. In fact, these words specifically are spoken to the church, to the people of God gathered together. And so it's the secret of a healthy church. It's the secret for a healthy community of believers. And when I say healthy, I today don't mean spiritual health, but I mean physical health. What is the secret to living a physically healthy life? There are some spiritual principles that can help lead you to physical health. James speaks of these. In our last sermon, we saw how he gave some instruction to those who are sick in verse 14. Is any of you sick? And we learned how that word really means
sickness unto death. That is, it's a terminal illness. You're not going to survive. What do you need to do? Call for the elders and they will pray over you and anoint you with oil. And then your prayer offered in faith will save you, will save the one who is sick in verse 15. That word save or restore, or some translations have the word heal, but the word there is save as in a spiritual salvation. Prayer of faith will save the one who is sick and the Lord will raise him up. That word is the word for a bodily resurrection in all of the epistles. The Lord will resurrect him, and if he has committed sins, it will be forgiven him. Now, we begin in verse 16 where James says, therefore. Remember, that's an important word. It means that there's a connection with what he's about to say to what he's already said. Therefore, that is because there is a sickness unto death that some aren't going to make it through. Therefore, he says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That word healed there is not the same word that we find in verse 15 for restore or saved, or sometimes translated healed in verse 15. But in verse 16, the word healed there means healed. It means you're no longer sick. It's a physical word, not a spiritual word. As the word in verse 15 is spiritual, the word in verse 16 is physical. So confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. Thus, I'm speaking today about the secret to a healthy life. It goes on to speak about the power of prayer. And then in verse 19, speaks also about turning one from the truth. So today, I want to speak from these verses, 16 through 20. I want to speak about what we are to do, the three secrets to healthy living or to a healthy church. And I want to take these not in the order that James gives them, but in the order that I think is going from easiest to hardest, easiest to most difficult. Now, you can have your own judgment on which one's easier for you, but this tells you where I am on the matter anyway. And so we pick up in verse 16 where he says, pray for one another. Pray for one another. This is the fourth time that James has used the term one another. He tells us in chapter 4, verse 11, don't slander one another. In chapter 5, verse 9, he says, don't complain, grumble against one another. If you remember from that sermon, that is not so much the word for the speech, when he says, don't slander one another, that's the speech. But in chapter 5, verse 9, when he says, don't complain or grumble, that's the word for a heart. It literally says, don't have a grudge against one another. Those are the first two one another's. The second two in the book of James come in verse 16 when he says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. And then he begins to describe the kind of prayer that brings about that healing. He says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Now, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray. Why are we supposed to pray? Because it what? It accomplishes much. Now, the New American Standard here says can accomplish much. That's not really the best translation that's given there. Perhaps many of you memorize this passage of Scripture in the King James Version, which says the effectual prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. Here we come and we see that the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But availeth much isn't the way we would talk too much here today. So here, New American Standard says can accomplish much, but I don't really like the word can because it doesn't really belong in that Greek word. That Greek word is the word that says there is an inherent power in the effective prayer of a righteous man. It has a power all of its own. In fact, let's look at it a few times. First of all, let's go back to Acts chapter 19 and verse 20. And we're going to look at four times this word is used. It's used twice in the Bible in a positive sense and twice in a negative sense. We've seen one positive in James where it says the effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In Acts chapter 19, verse 20, we see another positive use. They're in the city of Ephesus, Paul and his companions, and there's a summary of the work being done there in Acts 19, 20, when it says, so the word of the Lord was growing mightily and was prevailing. That word prevailing means availeth much. The word of the Lord was mighty and was accomplishing much. It was prevailing. It was availing much. In other words, the word of God had within it inherent power, and that power was accomplishing much. So we know the word of God has power. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is what? The power of God for salvation to those who believe. The scripture tells us that the word of God does not come back empty or void. It always accomplishes its work. So the word of God has an inherent power, as here in James we're taught that the effective prayer of a righteous man also has that inherent power. Now let's go to Acts chapter 27, verse 16, and we're going to see this word used, however, in the negative. Acts chapter 27, verse 16. Paul is on board a ship which is going to go down before it's all over with, and the scripture says, running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. Scarcely able. That's the negative. It's the same word, just put a negative in front of it. And what Paul says here is, we did not have the inherent power to overcome this storm. We gathered together and we threw things overboard and we tried and we wished and we prayed and we crossed our fingers and all that kind of stuff. But man, we just didn't have the power to control the winds and the waves. We did not have the inherent power. In other words, we tried, but we could not inherently accomplish much. Now let's look at another time it's used in the negative, and that's Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Here in this passage of scripture where Paul is speaking of legalism, he says in chapter 5, verse 6, he says, for in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Now here you see the word used in the negative. That is, it does not have inherent power. What doesn't? Circumcision and uncircumcision. Neither one of them have any inherent power to save. Only faith working through love. So, we see it in the negative. We didn't have the power to overcome the winds and the waves. He says circumcision or uncircumcision, pick whichever you want. It has no inherent power. It doesn't accomplish much, is what he's saying. In fact, while you're thinking in that regard, I might add that there are a lot of other things, spiritual things, that don't carry an inherent power. Neither baptism nor unbaptism accomplishes much. Neither church attendance or non-attendance, giving or non-giving, whatever you want to take here in your form of legalism, whatever you would pick, none of it accomplishes much in terms of your salvation. What accomplishes much? By grace through faith. It's the faith that we have in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and His work. Now that inherently accomplishes much. It availeth much, doesn't it? So, coming back here, we see that we're supposed to pray because it has an inherent power. It accomplishes much.
Dr. White will be back in just a moment to continue these thoughts from his series, Shoe Leather Theology. We will send you the entire series of sermons, uninterrupted and unedited for time, for any donation you can give to our ministry. Our current free offer is Dr. White's sermon, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We will send it to you totally free of charge just for joining our mailing list. Dr. White is a committed supporter of Israel, and he thinks you should be too. This sermon will explain biblical reasons for pro-Israel Christian activity. Contact us today at our toll-free number to request this CD or to make a donation to receive the complete series from the Book of James. The number is 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. That is 1-855-437-9448. You can also get this offer at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to Dr. White's teaching.
So, coming back here, we see that we're supposed to pray because it has an inherent power. It accomplishes much. But what kind of prayer is it that accomplishes much? Not just any kind of prayer. In fact, I think it's more than a curiosity that James uses two different words for pray here in verse 16. He says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. That particular word pray there is different than when he says the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. That's why you need to read Greek so you can figure that out, right? You see, the first word, pray for one another, is honestly kind of a light word. In fact, there are several times in the scripture when that word is translated wish. I just wish for you. It's my hope, it's my thought, it's my prayer, used in a light way. And so there he says, pray for one another. But then he says, the effective prayer. Now that word there for prayer is often translated a supplication or an entreaty. It is a very specific word. Not just that there's this general desire for good health, but it is, we're going directly to the Lord and we're asking him very specifically for this accomplishment to take place. It's the effective supplication or entreaty of a righteous man. Now, it's the supplication or entreaty, it's the directness of the prayer, the boldness of the prayer, but not only that, he uses the word effective. And effective there is honestly, it's a verb in Greek. It's a participle. And so if we're going to translate it literally, we probably need a word with an ing on it. And the best literal translation would be this: the working prayer or the working supplication of a righteous man has within it an inherent power to accomplish much. The working prayer. Now, the word working there is the Greek word energeo. You sounds familiar, doesn't it? We get the word energy from it. And so it's as if he's even saying the energetic kind of prayer or the energizing kind of prayer, that's the one from a righteous man that accomplishes much. Energeo. Now, when we come to that prayer, some of your translations, by the way, say something to the effect of the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And while that may be the meaning of the text here, that's not the words of the text. This says it is a specific kind of prayer, and it is literally a working prayer, a working prayer. You have prayers like I do, I suppose. We're going to confess sins in just a moment, so let's go ahead and get a head start. You have prayers that are, can we use the word perfunctory? You say them all the time. They just roll right off your lips, you know, and you say them, you go on. You don't really even think about it. Is anybody besides me pray like that sometimes? I thought so. I'm glad a few of you are honest. you sit down to dinner, perhaps. And I'm glad you pray and you say thanks, but often it's that prayer that it just so easily comes out. You don't put a lot of work and a lot of effort into it. And we have those kinds of prayers. And he's really saying to us, that's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. As good as that is, as great a practice as that is, as healthy as that is, as wonderful a reminder that is, I'm talking about the kind of prayer where you roll up your shirt sleeves and you get to work. Now, the mealtime prayer is where you're about to roll up your shirt sleeves and get to work. He says, I want the kind of prayer that is a working kind of prayer. And you've experienced again that kind of prayer, haven't you? I think of Peter when he was in prison, and the church of God, as we looked at in the last sermon, gathered together in the home, you remember, and they just sort of wished that Peter would be released instead of killed, right? No, it wasn't that kind of prayer. Well, they didn't just have a little perfunctory prayer before they ate their peach cobbler. They had a working kind of prayer that night. It was the effective prayer or the working or the energizing kind of prayer of a righteous man. And as guaranteed, it accomplished much. It availeth much. And so here he tells us to have this energeo kind of prayer. Now, how are we going to have that kind of prayer? I don't want you to be mistaken here and think, well, that just means I need to pray more fervently. You probably do need to pray more fervently, but But what my fear is, you say, I guess I just need to have more passion in my prayer. And so I need to pray louder, and I need to pray longer, and I need to pray more vociferously, whatever that means. I need to sweat a little bit. I need to, maybe someone would even say, I need to go and I need to pray in a some sort of heavenly unction language. I need to pray in tongues, and someone might read all that into it. Now, that's not at all what that says. What is an energizing or a working kind of prayer? I'm convinced that there's only one person who gives energy into your prayers, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. The one who comes and takes your prayers and carries it to the Father and intercedes and carries it there and speaks for you with groanings that you cannot even utter. And he begins to do that work. So that kind of prayer that's in the Spirit and in the name of the Lord, I'd encourage you sometime to do a little work and study on your own to find out what is it that is this effective prayer or this energizing or this working supplication. What is that? Because that's the kind that accomplishes much.
Well, on today's broadcast, we've been talking about the secret to healthy living from James chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. And we've just looked at one of the instructions that James gives us, and that is to pray for one another. I'm convinced that the instruction that we have as believers is to pray for one another as it relates to health. Why? Because it accomplishes much. Now, what kind of prayer? We've said it's the energetic supplication of a righteous man. There is a particular kind of prayer that accomplishes much. But this particular kind of prayer of a particular kind of person, the effectual prayer of a righteous man, certainly accomplishes much, but it's only one of the instructions that James gives us. Now, because we're out of time for this broadcast, we'll have to pick up here tomorrow, and we're going to go on and see two more secrets for healthy living that James gives to those of us who are believers within the church, not only to pray for one another, but also to confess your sins to one another. You see, we're getting even more difficult, as challenging as it is to have the effectual or energetic supplication of a righteous man. It's very challenging, isn't it, to confess our sins to one another? Because some sin does lead to sickness, doesn't it? In fact, all sin leads to sickness, whether of the soul or of the body. And so there is a need to confess our sins to one another. And we'll look at this tomorrow. And then to rescue one another. To rescue one another from errors of creed and errors of conduct. This will be the subject of our sermon when we come back on tomorrow's broadcast here on Word for the World. Of course, you can always catch every broadcast, not only here on this station, but also on the internet at randywhiteministries.org. Just go to our Listen Online page, and there you'll find it. And we would love also to give you this entire series of sermons. There are 12 sermons altogether, and they're packaged nicely on 12 CDs. We would love to send them to you for whatever donation that you can provide to our ministry to help us continue to provide these daily broadcasts to you that we pray are such an encouragement, and we pray are part of your healthy spiritual living and physical living. Contact us today, wouldn't you? Here's our host with the contact information. Thank you, and God bless you for being with us today on Word for the World.
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. But before we go, let me remind you to call today and request Dr. White's free sermon CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. I'll give the number in just a moment. We would also love to send you the entire series of sermons from this series, Shoe Leather Theology. You will be strengthened in your everyday faith by being able to listen to the sermons uninterrupted and unedited for time. We can send these to you when you give a donation of any size. Now, there are several ways to contact us to request the free Zionist CD or the Shoe Leather Theology Series. The easiest is to just call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. You can also go to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. And Dr. White would love to hear from you by email at randy@randywhiteministries.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy White, and this week I'm taking a few minutes each day as I normally come to you and I speak to you with a word for the world and as a friend of Zion, but this week I've been telling you about my book, The Antichrist, what you can know and what you need to know. And I've been offering this book. It's a special offer that our ministry has. It's available to you because of a generous donor who has subsidized the price of the book and the postage and handling. Now, normally this 200-page book would be $15 plus shipping and handling, but this week, as a call-in-only special, we're offering it to you for the price of $10, including shipping and handling. And not only that, but we're also putting in a 90-minute DVD that explains the Antichrist. I'm teaching in this DVD, and it provides to you some up-to-the-minute information about what the Bible is teaching about the end times. Now, this means that you have the 200-page book on the Antichrist. It's easy to read. It is one that you can sit down and follow through and understand. It's thoroughly biblical, filled with scriptures, tying them all together, connecting all the dots so that you can begin to understand eschatology, the man of lawlessness, the man of sin, the prince that is to come, all of these terms that are used for the coming day. It puts it all together, and then you can also watch the DVD with your family or with your children or with someone you're beginning to have a Bible study with, and both of these for $10. You might even want two copies, and we're throwing in a second copy for only $5. That means two books, two DVDs, $15, shipping and handling included. We'll put it on your credit card. We'll put it on your debit card. We'll put it on a check by phone. You can tell us you'll mail us the money. However you'd like to do it, we want to take care of you, but you do need to call to get the offer. Even the phone call is toll free. It's 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. 855-437-9448. You know, in this book, I speak about the satanic origins of the Antichrist. He's one who rises up almost out of nowhere and comes from obscurity, and he gains power so quickly. He's a miracle worker. And I talk about these miracles that are spoken of in the scripture and whether or not they're real miracles. And I conclude, yes, he really does miracles. But how does he do these miracles? Certainly not the power of God. And I write this and speak this to you today because I don't want you to be snookered by every miracle worker who comes along. Some of them are from the devil. And certainly, the Antichrist is from the Father, his father, the father of lies, the devil, Satan himself. Get this book, The Antichrist, what you can know, what you need to know. One copy, 200 pages, plus the DVD, 90 minutes, only $10, 1-855-437-9448. 1-855-437-9448.